Ordinance 24-01 relating to marijuana establishments.
This is an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, and this is going to test my Roman numerals, Mr. Chairman. Articles 1, 4, 11, 11A, 11C, 13, 14, and 15, and 25, Sections 115-4, 115-20, 115-77, 115-83.2, 115-83.18, 115-84, 115-85, 115-86, 115-87, 115-88, 115-89, 115-90, 115-91, 115-92, 115-93, 115-94, 115-95, 115-96, 115-97, 115-98, 115-100, 115-101, 115-102, 115-103, 115-104, 115-105, 115-106, 115-107, 115-108, 115-109, 115-110, 115-111, 115-112, 115-113, 115-114, 115-115, 115-116, 115-117, 115-118, 115-119, 115-120, 115-121, 115-122, 115-123, 115-124, 115-125, 115-126, 115-127, 115-128, 115-129, 115-130, 115-131, 115-132, 115-133, 115-134, 115-135, 115-136, 115-137, 115-138, 115-139, 115-140, 115-141, 115-142, 115-143, 115-144, 115-145, 115-146, 115-147, 115-148, 115-149, 115-150, 115-151, 115-152, 115-153, 115-154, 115-156, 115-157, 115-158, 153.19A, 115.94, 115.102, and 115.194.6 to regulate marijuana establishments in Sussex County. And submitted into the record for this ordinance, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the ordinance as it was introduced by Council and copy of the legal notices in terms of the advertising of the application. And I can confirm that we received zero comments. Second, thank you. I'm going to yield to Mr. Robertson to provide an update.
So it's not every day that I get to stand up here and act like an applicant, so go easy on me. So this has been sort of something that's been in the works for some time, and what I've got is a brief PowerPoint that explains this, because we've presented it to County Council, sort of the process that's been going along with the state, and the need to adopt an ordinance code change in Sussex County. Let's see, make sure I push the right one. There was legislation that was adopted and signed into law. It was House Bill, I'll use mine because I can't see that screen very well, House Bill 1 and House Bill 2 that made it legal for adults 21 or over to possess, use, purchase, or transport marijuana in personal use quantities. And it also, it stated that it's not legal to consume in public or in a moving vehicle. And you cannot grow, sell, or manufacture unless you're a licensed business. HB 2 created an effective date of July 5th of 2023, although that's the effective date. That really, there's a lot of dates that follow that are more relevant in terms of when this will be put into effect. It created the Office of the Marijuana Commissioner, who is a gentleman named Rob Koop. Some of you may know him. He's been the chief of the state police and some other higher offices in the state of Delaware. But we've had very good meetings with him, and he's very well organized, and I would say doing a very good job of creating an agency out of nothing, basically.
The implementation of it.
Because this is really new to Delaware, and he's really hit the ground running with it. And he's frankly been a big help to us. We ran this ordinance by him, and I'll get to in a moment some changes we made to it as a result of that. But he also explained the state's role in this and how highly it's going to be regulated on the state level. And he also explained to us sort of the differences between sort of how you think this will go in terms of the cultivation and manufacturing and testing versus how it's really going to go. Sort of jumping ahead, I think there was an assumption among some folks when we started this that, it was going to be an agricultural crop like soybeans, out in the field somewhere. That's sort of an oversimplification, but I think that was somewhat of the assumption, when in reality, that's far from the case, given not only the security, but the purity requirements and the testing that they do and the tracking that the state does. As a result of that, and I've got a picture of one example that's actually in use today, these are happening and they're licensed now, and they will happen and will be licensed, and you won't even know that's what it is. Because the cultivation, manufacturing, and testing facilities are not open to the public, for one thing, they're so secure and they're so highly regulated. It created not only that office, it authorized the issuance of 125 new business licenses for these facilities, and there's a breakdown of that, which I'll get to. And it also required the establishment of rules and regulations for implementing the code change, and also with regard to the Delaware Alcohol Tobacco Enforcement folks and how they're going to regulate, monitor, and inspect all of this. It also established a 15% sales tax on everything to cover the costs of implementing all this. Created an implementation timeline. One of the things that also did was provide that the municipalities can prohibit the cultivation, manufacturing, and sale of marijuana, but the counties cannot. The counties can only regulate it. What's significant about that is that we also have to get our regulations in before the state regulation of of marijuana facilities in before the state regulations take effect. This was a review we did a while back, but as of a month or so ago, Rehoboth, Dewey, Bethany Beach, Millville, Seaford, Ocean View, Fenwick Island, Millsboro, Dagsboro, Middletown, and Delmar had all prohibited these facilities within the town. And that's relevant to one of the distance requirements that we have in our code. So it created multiple state agency positions within the Office of Marijuana Commission. There's five commissioners. There's Commissioner Coop. There's a deputy commissioner. There's an attorney general, community relations officer, administrative specialist. There's 14 new positions within DATE, 7 new positions within the Division of Revenue, 2 positions within the Department of Agriculture, and 6 positions within the Department of Health. So as you can see, this is going to be highly staffed. There is a timeline for implementation. As I mentioned, the July 5th date is the date that the regulations for licensing are going to become sort of official. We need to get out in front of that. September 1 of 2024 is when the state will begin accepting license applications. October 1 of 2024 is when the state will begin to issue the licenses. November 1 is when the state will begin to issue up to 60 cultivation facility licenses. December 1 is when they'll begin issuing up to 30 manufacturing facility licenses. And March 1 of 2025 is when they will begin to issue up to 30 retail store licenses, again, statewide. And then March 1, 2025 is when they begin to issue up to 5 testing facility licenses, which as I'm reading that, it raises the question that you would think that the testing facility licenses would be first in that order, but they put them at the end. The types of licenses I mentioned, there's 60 cultivation licenses. So there's sort of 2 categories of that, a large one and a small one. And these are all the state regulations. This isn't part of what we're talking about at the county level. There's 30 product manufacturing facility licenses. There's 30 retail store licenses, and then the 5 testing facility licenses. That makes up the 125 licenses statewide. And the testing, as I said, that's going to be very stringent. There are regular samples collected by the regulators. The testing includes mold, yeast, and bacteria, cannabinoid profile, THC, CBD, and CBG, terpene profiles, heavy metals, pesticides, and mycotoxin. The one thing we looked at when we were talking to Commissioner Coop was that actually Delaware's levels for those are more stringent than any other state in the country, or equal to the most stringent of any other state in the country. So, we wouldn't accept a product that met, maybe adjacent states' requirements because they aren't as stringent as ours. So, and it's going to be, as I said, very highly regulated. So this was an example Commissioner Coop provided to us. This is actually in Milford. The top 2 pictures show it was an industrial site. I don't know if it was a cement plant or something like that, but it was vacant, and it was redeveloped as a cultivation facility, and I believe maybe a manufacturing facility, and licensed by the state under our medicinal marijuana regulations that are in place now. But as you can see, it's totally closed. It's actually an improvement over what was there before. There's not any public access to it, and again, you wouldn't even know what's happening there. There's no signage, or anything else to indicate that that's what's occurring. There's other examples too. We didn't want to focus on, exact specific locations that are happening, but it can happen any number of places with a converted poultry house that's completely sealed so that it can be, and totally environmentally enclosed and sealed and purified, any number of places like that. It could be the redevelopment of an existing place in a commercially zoned area or an industrial area, or it could be in an AR1 zone in a converted greenhouse or a poultry house, as long as the purity and environmental requirements are satisfied. So I'm not going to read all this to you. It's the definitions that are in the ordinance, and they come straight from the state code for a marijuana establishment, marijuana cultivation facility, marijuana product manufacturing facility. It defines what a marijuana product is. The marijuana testing facility, and then the retail marijuana store. I mean, they're You know, a marijuana establishment is pretty much the umbrella term. The cultivation facility is for the growing. The manufacturing is more the production as a result of the cultivation. And then obviously retail is the end user sales. So after talking to Commissioner Koop and with staff and with county council, the ordinance was introduced so that the cultivation, manufacturing, and testing facilities could be a permitted use in AR1, C1, CR1, C3, and then the three industrial zones, LI1, LI2, and HI1. The reason for that was, as I said, you know, we're still growing a product, and one of the things, there's a concern about, we don't want to get into regulation of what kind of crops a farmer would grow. I mean, I know that's an oversimplification when we're talking about heavily regulated marijuana, but at the same time, that's also going to be a slippery slope if you're regulating the type of crops you can grow. And if it can go in a converted poultry house, and it's literally something you're growing, it makes sense in AR1. Again, not for retail or the regulated cultivation, manufacturing, and testing facilities. Same thing with C1 and CR1 based on the example that we provided. That makes sense. And C3 as well, and then the industrial zones. And then for the retail marijuana stores, these are the ones where the public, and I should say back again to reiterate, for those three types where they're permitted uses, there's zero public interaction with any of those three types of uses. The retail marijuana stores would be a conditional use in the C3 commercial district. And there's a couple reasons we said C3. One is the purpose of that, and it's quoted there, the district is generally intended for larger scale auto-oriented retail and service businesses along major arterial roads that serve local and regional residents as well as the traveling public. That location part made sense. Also, looking at the other types of permitted uses in C3, you can have agriculture-related industries, and you can also have sales and rental of goods and merchandise and equipment, which sort of checks all those boxes. But we still, County Council wanted it to be a conditional use, so there would at least be a public hearing on it, so they would know where these are going, and the neighbors would have an opportunity to comment. And so with that, there's four conditions that govern conditional uses. And we have these kinds of conditions on other types of things, you know, where we're dealing with borrow pits or different types of things, you know, campgrounds, you know, things where there's distance requirements. So this is not unusual in that regard. The first one is no retail marijuana store shall be located within 3 miles of a municipal boundary. Council wanted the 3 miles because the towns have taken the action to prohibit a marijuana store within their boundaries. We didn't want sort of to be an end around on that by putting one right on the boundary of the town. That was sort of intergovernmental coordination on that.
I want to explain that the county does not have that luxury.
Yeah, we don't. We don't have the luxury to prohibit it. We can only regulate it. Same thing with no retail marijuana store shall be located within 3 miles of any other retail marijuana store. C, no retail marijuana store shall be located within 3 miles of any church, school, college, or substance abuse treatment facility as defined in the Delaware Code. And the fourth one is, retail marijuana stores shall only operate between the hours of 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. That's the one we got a comment back from Commissioner Koop on, because he said that one's inconsistent with state code, because the state code's hours of operation currently are from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. or 1 a.m., and there's a proposal to change that from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. So my only comment would be if the county's inclined to adopt that we just follow the state our guidelines on that, so we're not inconsistent with that. But essentially, that's it. So it would be a C3 conditional use for the retail stores, keeping in mind that at the state level, there is the limitation that there can only be 30 retail stores statewide. So it's not like we're going to have proliferation of those in Sussex County. You know, they're going to be spread out statewide. But again, council felt strongly that they wanted it to be C3, but they wanted a conditional use so that if somebody did it, they would, you know, again, have to have a public hearing so anybody could comment on it. That pretty much sums it up. That was a lot of information, but this is sort of the introducing the ordinance and getting to the public hearings is sort of the final step in all this, in the coordination we've had with Commissioner Koop and then with staff behind the scenes and getting it to the point where we were comfortable with an ordinance, knowing that at the same time we had to beat that July 5 date for the regulations, the state regulations.
Just one question. Is this all state rules, or is this something that we put together as a county, or is this collaborated in between the three counties?
So most of it's the regulation of the operation of these facilities and the number of the facilities, for example, that's all set by state code, and the investigation and inspections and the tracking and the taxes and everything else, that's all at the state level. So the county level is just sort of the where, when, and how it can happen, you know. So the where is the permitted uses for the manufacturing and cultivation and testing. That's the permitted uses in those five or six zoning districts. And then the other part is the stores, which is C3 with a conditional use.
And that's set by the state.
That's set by the county.
We're doing
that's
that.
Set by the county.
Yeah, that's the county part. Yep.
The only question I have is I believe you said 3 miles before any rehab facilities. It's becoming a known fact and very much of a study of SISM and skims that a lot of these, word this properly, a lot of people struggle with drug addiction, and the fire service, police, EMS, they're finding that marijuana calms their anxiety to not to push them to harder drugs. So that was my question, that was all.
Yeah, and, you know, those distance requirements, I mean, that's why we cited specifically that section of the Delaware Code, and that actually comes from some other standards we found in the Delaware Code, but it's cited to that, so it's you know, it's not an opinion about what somebody thinks a treatment facility is, it's actually a licensed treatment facility under the Delaware Code.
Yeah, and 3 miles is not a big deal, we can all walk 3 miles.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
Well, except for Bob. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, sorry.
Not right now. Check with me.
I can roll you in that chair 3 miles.
I have just a question. I know you said they have to do a conditional use application to do the retail sales. Do they have to do a conditional use for the growing of it?
No.
If they have a chicken house, it just goes
no,
to
that
the,
would be a permit.
So, but they have to go through site plan and all that.
Yeah, they would have to. I mean, depending on what they're doing, they'd have to go through site plan or pull a building permit and all that other sort of stuff. More than likely, it's going to be, I would think it would be site plan, just because, you know, when you look at this for the purity requirements and the security requirements and the water and everything else, I mean, it's not a minor operation to do this.
Not just turning over a chicken house.
Yeah, right. You're not right. Or even like a greenhouse. I mean, you're significantly redeveloping it, which is going to trigger building permits and going to trigger site plans.
But here,
I know this
right.
I know this is not federally mandated at this point. Do you find that the county would ever let people grow maybe like one or two plants in their yard, or is this too far off into the weeds?
That's all state regulated. That's not the county. I mean, right now, it's my understanding that, you know, you need to be licensed for that period. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions for Vince?
Okay. So, you know, we'll certainly open it up to the public. Think about, you know, if you're good with those distance requirements, and obviously we don't want to be inconsistent with what the commissioner's told us on the hours, and we've represented to him that, you know, we'd work with them on that. So I think the easiest thing to do with that is instead of setting hours,
reference the state.
Yeah. There was a concern originally, and this is why it was less, is that, you know, at the council level, whether it was appropriate or not, to allow these to remain open until the stores remain open until 1 a.m.
Yeah,
was that necessary? But it sounds like that's going to be changed to the state legislation to reduce that to 10 p.m. I want to say, yeah.
Okay.
So, okay. Thank you.
Our answer, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor or in opposition or just in interest with Ordinance 2401 relating to marijuana establishments? Anyone like to speak? Once, twice? Mr. Palmer, you're sure you don't have a comment? Okay.
Oh, look. I wasn't going to say anything.
Yep, it was all.
But Bob Palmer, 23318 Cedar Lane, Georgetown. Mr. Robertson's point of the 3 miles around towns, you know, having kind of a basic understanding of land use and how all these things work, I think 3 miles is probably pretty good. And with the way the whistle stops are on Route 13, that may well nuke the Route 13 corridor and other parts of the the county on the major arterials. But I wonder if there would be any consideration to expanding that to comprehensive plan growth areas for, you know, for some of the municipalities that have, you know, kind of already staked claim to areas that are sometimes much larger than three miles. Just a thought. That's
okay.
All I have.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? All right, then. Being the case, we'll close the public hearing.